We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
On this special Sunday morning, happy to have you all with us here in the sanctuary or on our YouTube channel or listening on the radio. We are always happy to have you come along any way that you can. I want to give to you what is this week's version of our welcome to the whole world. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. We at First United Church of Christ, Sauk City, have been embraced by the inclusive love of Jesus, and so we strive as an open and affirming congregation to be a welcoming presence in Sauk City and beyond. We invite anyone and everyone to worship and serve with us, everyone who covenants with us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly in the way of Jesus will be a valued member of this fellowship, without regard to sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, race or faith background. So that means all of you and everybody else in the world too. A couple of announcements for us. Let me begin first with Tim. Herbrand has something for us today.
Good morning. I'd like to speak on behalf of the Mission Impossible group and also on our upcoming mission trip scheduled for June. We will leave on the 15th of June and come back on the 21st, I believe. I actually wrote it down. The 23rd. It's in Biloxi, Mississippi. It's Bat Bay Mission. It's a great time going down there. The need of helping people. I know the last hurricane's been many years ago, and most of the houses are done, but there's many things to do down there. Taking the homeless off the streets is a big project down there. They get screened. They actually get put in the houses. They buy houses. They don't flip them. They put the homeless in them, and if it works out, great. If it don't, they move on to another one. And they're actually building little houses for the homeless. If you want information about it, me and Sue, ages are 14 and up. Our last trip was awesome. It was actually only me and my wife, my daughter, and my two grandchildren. Awesome time. Just awesome time. And we actually painted a whole house with five people. How? But that's irrelevant. We had fun. But so raising funds for this, and I know I talk a lot about it. I enjoy doing it. My family enjoys doing it. We do two shows a year. One is coming up May 4th, 5th, and 6th. It is the Badger Gas and Steam Show. It is called the Swap Meet. It's just a food stand that we do, fish dinner on Friday, spaghetti on Saturday, and all that kind of stuff, to hamburgers and hot dogs. But as well as, I could tell you, you can ask Doug Larson. He's one of our main cooks on Friday mornings. He can tell you that we need help, and everything goes for a good cause. Like, you know, help your fund to go to the mission trip, stock the schools, pay for some of the things around the church that we have donated for. There's many things that we do. There's an upcoming mission trip for Graceway Church down there. One of our kids that used to come here asked us for help. It's not only about giving to our church, it's about giving to the whole community when we're asked for the right reasons. So if you have any questions, please contact me or Sue. Rose knows a lot about Bat Bay Mission and what we do. She's helped up there. So please contact, and if you want to help, please contact us. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. There is in your bulletin a reminder announcement that next Sunday is the annual meeting of the congregation immediately following the worship service. Don't miss that. It's a very, very important Sunday in the life of the church. In the back, in the entry on the table, there are copies of the annual report and also of the revision we're making for the Constitution that'll be voted on next week as well. We are delighted this morning to have with us Ken Lonquist, who is going to do a musical accompaniment to Shirley Lenved's sermon. He's going to be singing like five songs through the course of the service. So just really, really happy to have that all going on. Immediately after the worship service, downstairs in the fireside room, we're going to continue the conversation. Shirley is going to lead us in a conversation about what kinds of things we can engage in right now to be contributing to the well-being of the earth and our community. So come on down for that afterwards and join in that conversation. At the end of the service today, just before the benediction, we're going to take a special free will offering to compensate Ken for his time coming today. He is a professional musician, and they are chronically underpaid in whatever they do. So be as generous as you can when the plate comes around for the second time. And that'll be for Ken's time coming with us to be with us today. This next Wednesday evening at 5:30 is our second Lenten soup and bread supper and conversation. That'll start at 5:30 for supper. The conversation starts at 6. The soups last week were really good. And I'm told there will be even more soup this coming Wednesday. The topic for this series is what we have labeled Christian weirdness, the things we do all the time but don't always think about it or know what we're doing. And the weirdness we're talking about this coming Wednesday night is the communion service. And you will talk about that, and you will experience communion in a format that you probably have never experienced before. So you have to eat anyway. Fortunately, everybody has supper. So come on by at 5:30. And join us for the soup and then a good conversation following. Our liturgist today is Jamie Whitworth, and the radio sponsor for this morning is also Jamie and Karen Whitworth in honor of Joe and Ella Stronke. That is all that I had. Any other announcements that need to be made that I wasn't aware of? Good. Then let's continue where we begin our worship time with you sitting. Close your eyes if you would like to. Enjoy the silence. Breathe deeply and know that each breath you take is a gift from God. Jamie will lead us in our call to worship. If you're able, would you please stand? The words are in your bulletin and will be on the screen.
In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light."
And there was light, and it was good.
All week, God said, "Let there be, let there be, let there be."
And all that God made was good.
Then God took a breath and looked around and said,
"Look what I've done. It's all very, very good." Our first hymn this morning is not in your hymnal, but the words will be on the screen, and the tune will be familiar. This is Sing Now, a New Song. Please, in our morning prayer. It's in the bulletin and on the screen. Creator God, you have given us a world overflowing with beauty. Forgive us for what we have spoiled. You have created a world of abundance. Forgive us for what we have hoarded. You have given us each other, this wild variety of shapes and hues and beliefs. Forgive us for what we have divided. Open our eyes to what you saw at the beginning, the indeed goodness of this wonderful world. Amen. Here is the gospel, the good news for you this morning. God loves this world. God has redeemed this world. God is remaking this world. In this, we are being made whole. And for this, we all say, thanks be to God. This is the welcome table, and it is made ready for all who are hungry, for everyone who wonders what not being hungry might feel like. So whoever you are, wherever you come from, however you identify, whatever brought you here today, you are welcome. All of who you are is precious to God, and every part of you is welcome to share in the bread and the juice at this table. Remember that it was Jesus who said, "Come to me, all who labor under heavy burdens, and here I will give you rest." Would you pray with me, please? Holy One, we are grateful for the creation, for the gift of life, for your abiding love, for you are the source of all that is good. We thank you for calling us to walk together in the way of Jesus, for breathing life into us, and we thank you for this bread of life and cup of salvation, offering to us the very presence of Christ. Bless us now in our eating and drinking, that our eyes may be opened and we may recognize the living Christ at this table, in each other, and in all for whom Christ died. Amen. Every week we come to this table remembering that night when Jesus sat at a table with his friends just before they betrayed him, and how he took a loaf of bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. It is for you. When you eat, remember me." And after that supper, he took a cup and he blessed that and gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, drink. This cup is my blood of the covenant poured out for many. This cup ties us together forever." We come here every week eating and drinking in the company of each other, in the presence of Jesus himself, proclaiming by this what is the core of our belief, that Christ has died, but Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. These are the gifts of God for all of you, my friends, the people of God. Come to the table. Everything is ready. Would you pray with me, please? Bountiful God, we give thanks that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of Jesus Christ. As his bread has been broken to make us whole, and this cup overflows with your grace, now pour us out to be a blessing to all your people. Walk with us through the darkness and awaken us to your light. Bring us closer and closer to you, we pray. Amen. Now, kids, we got something special for you today. Come on up. And I am not going to sing to you, but somebody is. This is Mr. Longquist. He has been singing to kids for 4,800
years.
4,800 years. And he has some songs for you this morning.
Well, this is going to be an interesting dynamic. I'm going to give you my best side and give you guys my other side. This song, I'm going to do two quick songs for you. This first song was written for a raccoon to sing. I was asked to write 12 songs for a book that was being written by the Environmental Protection Agency about Wisconsin and things that are going on in the Great Lakes area that are good and not so good for the earth. And without going into any detail, there was a meeting of many animals in northern Wisconsin by Lake Superior in this story, and a raccoon tried to explain to a girl and a boy who were in attendance why we should all care about even little things that are going on in our towns, our homes, our cities that affect the environment. The raccoon said, "The earth, all life is like a web, like a spider's web. Every thread in the web plays an important part. And if you break one thread in a spider web, the whole web is weaker." And then the raccoon began to sing. And the other animals, which is you guys, and you guys, the other animals echoed as the raccoon sang. So I'll give you a quick practice. The raccoon sang, "Life is a web, life is a web. Got your part? You're going to echo the raccoon. That's me. Ready? Life is a web. Life is a web of many threads. Of many threads. Woven together. Woven together. Living and dead. Living and dead. We've got to be careful because if a tear starts, the web of creation could all come apart." Here we go again. That's why we're gathered. Keep singing. A few years ago, I was invited to a school in Fox Point, Wisconsin, which is one of those suburbs north of Milwaukee. And the third graders there, in fact, all the students there were studying something that I never knew anything about when I was in elementary school. It was called your carbon footprint. What that means is how much energy we use every day, especially fossil fuels like gasoline and coal and oil. Well, these students were studying all about their carbon footprint, which means, you know, when you go through the world, you leave footprints, of course, but how big is your carbon footprint? How much energy do you use and maybe waste? So these third graders wanted to write a song about taking care of the earth. And you're going to hear references to the carbon footprint. They sang, leave a smaller footprint behind you, like a chipmunk, mouse, or squirrel. Do we really need to remind you? Take care of this beautiful world as we go through this world. There's no taking our footprints back. Take care of the world. Take care of the world. Leave a smaller footprint behind you. Recycle, reduce, reuse. Actions every day define you. Consider the path you choose. As we go through this world, we leave tracks, and there's no taking our footprints back. Take care of the world. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Tony. You can follow Margaret McFarland to your classroom. Jamie has our first scripture reading for us.
Our first reading for this morning comes out of the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 31. Here we read, God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. Here ends the reading.
Short and very sweet. Ken's next song is called Patchwork Quilt. He's going to sing that for us now.
We
When I was a young folk singer, just a couple years ago, I had the great privilege of meeting one of the most famous folk singers in American history, Pete Seeger. And I actually began a bit of a friendship and mentorship from him for a few years. And I got a postcard from him once that had a picture of a patchwork quilt on the front of the card. And on the back he wrote to me, "We'll stitch this world together yet. We'll stitch this patchwork world together yet." And I thought, there's a song in that. And there's a part for you. If you know the art of folk music, you'll figure it out. With needles shaped from splintered swords of history's forgotten wars, we'll stitch a world, a patchwork world. And friends, the thread we use will be spun from the hearts of you and me. We'll stitch a world, patchwork world. You've already learned part of your part. We'll stitch a world together from the pieces. We'll stitch a world, a patchwork world. We'll mend the tears and smooth away the creases. Colors deep and rich and fair from every people everywhere. We'll stitch a world, a patchwork world. And in the beauty of its seams, we'll gather strength to shape our dreams and stitch a world. World, a patchwork world.
I was really pleased a few weeks ago when I asked Shirley Lenvitt if she would take a Sunday morning and tell us her story. And I was even more pleased when we had a chance to get together over coffee and she told me what she was going to be saying, the story that she wanted to tell. And so I am really pleased, well, there she is, Shirley, to have you here today. She's going to read our next scripture reading and then tell us a story. Shirley?
Our second scripture reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 4 through 9 and 15. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. Shirley Kelter gave a wonderful message to our congregation on Sunday, January 21st, about paying attention to our calling in life and following that call with God's help. That message resonated with me, but I didn't expect the almost immediate response to it. Right after the service, as I was helping to clean up the communion glasses, Pastor Brad walked in and asked if we could meet for coffee sometime soon, explaining that he'd like to talk about the church and the environment, knowing about my interest in environmental issues. So I agreed, and due to Pastor Brad's persuasive skills, here I am. Now, most of you know me as a quiet, behind-the-scenes type person, but a few of you know me also as a passionate advocate for marginalized people and for the environment, and I think that both of these are intertwined. So Pastor Brad asked me to tell my story of how my passion for the environment was ignited and how it relates to my faith. There have been so many people and experiences that have shaped my view of the world and awakened me to an awareness of how everyone must do their part to take care of God's creation. I grew up in Sheboygan on the shores of Lake Michigan, and I knew early on that it was a special place. I spent summers bicycling with my friends to Terry Andre State Park, walking the beaches and dunes and sitting around campfires and hiking the trails, and that began my love of being in nature. My parents sometimes took us to the beach to play in the water, but we as a family never hiked or camped together. So when I was in high school, I bought an old canvas tent, and I camped in our backyard so I could sleep outside. In the years that followed, I went on many camping trips with friends, and later with Dave and our boys, and I bought much better and more comfortable equipment. I live with my grandma in Sheboygan, who had lived through the Depression, and that was during my first year of college. And I learned about reusing and recycling, and even composting. She would just throw her vegetable scraps out into her small garden. And everywhere I've lived since then, back in the 70s, I've had gardens, compost pits, and recycling bins. And when we moved into this area, we had only a dump. And all the garbage, including the recyclables, was just thrown into this giant hole in the ground. There was nowhere to take recyclable materials in this area. And so I saved all of our recycling, and I would take it to Madison every time I had errands to run there. Now, fortunately, we now have a transfer site, so we don't have to go so far to take our recycling. When I aged out of Vacation Bible School in Sheboygan at Ebenezer United Church of Christ, I helped out as a student assistant, creating craft projects from leaves, sticks, grasses, stones, and other things found in nature. And this was When I began to realize how my faith was related to caring for and connecting with the environment. I'm a longtime member of many environmental groups, but some individual influences in my life were Marion Moran, who was a naturalist at the Arboretum in Madison, and she taught me to hug trees. And Alda Leopold, whose book, A Sand County Almanac, became a constant companion. And Rachel Carson, whose book, Silent Spring, alerted me to the many threats to the health of our environment. There's also Kurt Miney, Jeb Barzin, Charlie Luth, and many other local environmentalists who have done so much for the quality of the environment in this area. And of course, there's Ken Longquist, who I used to take my kids to see at the old Sauk City Library years ago. And even then, 30 years ago, he was singing songs about the environment. 2 weeks ago, I attended a presentation given by Art Chigoni and his wife at the Tripp Historical Museum during Eagle Watching Days. Art is a Menominee and Potawatomi Native American who lives in this area. And I've seen him many times over the years at educational events, Eagle releases, Native American dances, and Fairy Bluff Eagle Council events. And I had an opportunity to speak with Art afterwards. And I was thrilled to be able to tell him how much his work in the community has meant to me. He was the first local Native American to awaken in me awareness of the importance of his culture in our society and how vital the indigenous teachings are to our understanding of the natural world. I also need to mention Mike Kiersky, who drew me into the work of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. He taught me how to count eagles. He invited me to volunteer for Eagle Watching Days and work tirelessly to identify and eliminate toxins that pose threats to wildlife. Shortly after I met my husband, Dave, he invited me to go to his family's place in Door County. And that began a love of a place so magical and dear to my heart that has gone on for over 40 years, much like my love for Dave. I took many bicycling vacations over the years, early on because I didn't have a car, and later because I enjoyed it so much. And my sister was my cycling buddy, and we shared a love of the outdoors and nature. So over the years, I've written many, many letters to the editor, to legislators, to corporations and small businesses about a variety of issues, but most often environmentally related. I don't always get a reply. But when I do, it's very gratifying, and it makes me feel like my voice is being heard. So one of the things that all of these experiences and people brought to my life was an openness to other social issues, like LGBTQ rights, women's rights, racial inequality, voting rights, homelessness, poverty, and so many others, and an awareness of how my faith has influenced my choices and commitment to social justice. Opening and affirming was something that I felt needed to be done for our church to move forward, to be the kind of church that's truly accepting of every person that God has created. The LGBTQ community is affected by more than climate change. They've been marginalized and looked down upon for so long and need the support of all of us so that they can feel like equal partners in the challenges that we face on this earth. Becoming an open and affirming church was important because unless we can care for, respect, and love one another, we can't truly care about our earth and the rest of creation. We've made such great strides in this area, but we must always be striving to do even better. Working for the environment is our responsibility. And with that in mind, I'd like to tell you about the Kairos Call to Action. It's an initiative issued by the United Church of Christ Council for Climate Justice that calls for UCC churches to adopt goals to address climate and inequality. According to the council, climate scientists have impressed upon us the urgent need to act. Action is needed today and on a society-wide scale over the next 10 years in order to meet the minimum goals needed to put human civilization on a more sustainable and equitable path. They want to impress upon us that there is a rich theological tradition that underscores the ways that moments of crisis can be God-charged moments of possibility. Kairos means right time, and that time is now. The Kairos call to action is a resource for providing the scientific, theological, and practical resources for churches who are seeking to develop mobilization plans to address the intertwined crises of climate and inequality. Heather Phelps, a resource specialist with the Wisconsin Center for Environmental Education at Stevens Point and a member of the council, reminds us that Jesus told us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And this means we also need to care about how people are going to be affected by climate change. There are so many stories to tell and so many issues to address. And I could talk for hours about climate and the environment, but I won't do that to you. I would like to invite you to an informal discussion after the service to talk about the issues that you care about, what you think our church can do, and how we should move forward with this. Pastor Brad has asked me to write a short bi-monthly article in The Scoop about the environment, just to tell some of those stories and to bring up some issues to consider. And I'd like to touch on just a few of those issues just to get you thinking. One would be how can First UC of Sauk City work on becoming carbon neutral? Another is if you or your church has stock holdings, how can we investigate how to divest from fossil fuels? Think about how to lessen the impact of climate change on minorities, the poor, the disadvantaged, and the disabled. Study the impact of global wars on the environment and wildlife. Educate people on the science of climate change. Work to change people's attitudes towards global warming by increasing awareness. Recycle, reuse, reduce. Like plastics are a good example. We can recycle plastic bags and containers or reuse them, but reducing the use of single-use plastics in the first place is the best option. And then encourage or even demand that the building industry incorporate solar, geothermal heating and cooling, and other renewables in new construction. Many of you have a special talent that you can apply to this effort. You can do your part by working on the one change that energizes you. It could be as simple as resolving not to use styrofoam plates and cups, or plastic utensils or plastic bags. Or maybe you like to write letters, and you could contact lawmakers and corporate leaders about climate issues. And all of you should become informed about candidates running for office, and then be sure to vote. It does help to partner with others, share resources, pray together, because for many, inaction on climate change can lead to a feeling of hopelessness. It's kind of like fighting a forest fire with a garden hose, but finding ways to make even small changes can empower us. In his January 28th sermon, Pastor Brad talked about a person in Psalm 88 who felt that darkness was their only companion. And so many on this earth feel that despair every day, and it's easy to risk falling into hopelessness. But God does not leave us without hope. We are reminded to sit and listen, to wait and trust, to keep trying, and God will give us hope, thus giving us the courage to take action. In the second chapter of Genesis, God places human beings in the Garden of Eden and gives them the responsibility to cultivate and care for it, instructing us to become a part of the land, to be its guardian and caretaker, to work with it. So, to protect this world, make yourself a guardian of creation and consider this a calling like the two Shirleys in your congregation experienced. and resolved to act on that calling to help make this world that God created a better place for all of his creation. Now, I'd like to invite you all to stand and join along with Ken in singing a song that I'm sure is familiar to you all. This land is your land. The words will be on the screen.
Some of you may be wondering, why does he need this iPad to sing This Land Is Your Land? Everybody knows that song. Anybody who plays guitar and sings. Well, Pastor Brad has written a new verse. And I'm not going to mess up Pastor Brad's verse. And I hope none of you do either, because he's probably on the way to a Grammy. We don't want to get in the way. Let's see here. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I was walking that ribbon of high,
sit down. This is our time when we bring our own concerns in prayer. If I could have someone to manage the microphone. Jamie. So what or who are we praying for today? Where are your thoughts, your hopes?
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thin a bit today. Skies will turn mostly sunny and highs of the lower 50s. Light west winds developing. Overnight, partly cloudy skies will roll in. Lows in the lower 30s. On Monday, mostly sunny and breezy with highs in the lower 60s. Do you need help with back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8190.